Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for tonight comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15, where we read, Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. As I said just a couple minutes ago, our theme this year is location, location, location. And while these things may be the most important things in an earthly real estate, location is even more important as we journey toward heaven. Last week, our location was hope. As we journey to heaven, we walk behind our Savior, keeping our eyes fixed on Him and Him alone. We do that because our hope is in Jesus alone, who has completed everything necessary for our salvation. We have hope because Jesus has literally been through hell for us and has returned to tell us we have nothing to fear, because as hell could not hold Him, it cannot hold us either. Our hope isn't simply a wish, but as the writer to the Hebrews reminds us, our hope is sure and certain because it is anchored deeply and firmly in that same Jesus Christ. I don't know if you noticed who the author of that hymn we just sang is. Well, actually, unless you were singing from the hymnal, you wouldn't notice that. So I'll tell you who it was. Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford wrote that hymn. He was a successful Chicago businessman until the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. And that wiped out all of his real estate holdings. Then, 2 years later, in 1873, he and his wife Anna and their four daughters were planning to vacation in Europe. But when last-minute business threatened to delay their departure, Spafford sent his wife and daughters on ahead of him. In the middle of the Atlantic, their ship was struck by another ship, and it was almost broken in two and quickly sank. Spafford's wife was found unconscious, floating on a plank of wood by the crew of the ship that struck their ship, but sadly their young daughters, all four of them, drowned. After the collision, a fellow survivor, a pastor, Weiss, recalled Anna saying, "God gave me four daughters. Now they have been taken from me. Someday I will understand why." I can't imagine what that must have been like for a mother to survive the drowning of four of her daughters. And I think we all can relate, though, to not maybe her situation, but the situations of our own, where we say the same thing. This has happened. Someday, someday, I'll know why. Well, Mr. Spafford immediately left Chicago to bring his wife home. And then one day during the voyage, the ship's captain called for him to come up to the bridge, and he informed him that, by his estimates, they were at the location of the shipwreck that took the lives of his four children. Again, can you even imagine how difficult that must have been for him? I can't. I can't imagine it. But later, Horatio Spafford would write these words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." How was it possible? How was it possible that Spafford, while buffeted and tossed by unimaginable grief, was still able to say, "It is well. It's well with my soul"? You know, I think knowing the answer to that would help us a lot. Because I think we too are buffeted by the seas of life. Finances, health, relationships, the loss of people and things dear to us, just to name a few. And as the troubles of life howl on the outside, our emotions churn on the inside. Emotions of fear and anger and grief, worry, disappointment. I doubt there isn't one of us here who doesn't know these emotions, some all too well. Philosophers, psychologists have observed that it isn't the storms outside that bother us as much as it is the way we respond to them within. As we talked last week, when the difficulties of life run over us, we can feel left behind, wondering what just happened. We're behind, and like Horatio Spafford, we're often buffeted and tossed this way and that. Now, I said last week that because of God's mercies, being behind is actually where we need to be, because we are behind our Savior, a Savior who is leading us home to heavenly glory. We're behind, but we're still filled with hope. Advent means to come. Christ came at Christmas, and he will come again one day to take us to heaven. But in Advent, we also remember that God comes to us even now with hope. Comes to us through word and sacrament. And that coming locates us on faith. Behind, but with hope. Buffeted, but on faith. I know that phrase "on faith" sounds a bit strange, but here's why I'm saying it that way. People today are very spiritual. You know, spiritual, in fact, is a very popular word, and Americans believe all kinds of spiritual stuff. And a popular saying goes, "I'm spiritual, but not religious." You know, that's kind of catchy, right? It may even sound a little profound. Got to think that one through. But here's what I think most people mean when they say, "I'm spiritual," or "I'm spiritual, but not religious." I think what they're really saying is, "I'm spiritual, but I don't need your rigid religion. I don't need your churchy nonsense." You see, when people talk about spirituality, when people talk about faith, they're often thinking of some sort of a warm, fuzzy feeling that we get. But those feelings won't help much when Christ returns if they discover that those feelings have taken them down the wrong road. Feelings come and go. They go this way and that. So we need something much more solid to put our faith on. Something much more solid for us to stand on. Faith that gives real hope is based not on feelings, but on the truths that God has revealed in his word. The truths of God, the truths that he gave to the prophets, the evangelists, the apostles, the truths in the Bible. These are what we call the faith. It's the faith believed and confessed by God's faithful people. It's the faith that is centered on Jesus Christ. John wrote, "Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in these books, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These words that I am giving to you, these things that I have written down, these are given to you so that you may believe and have life." And Paul declares to the Corinthians, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." Paul is giving something to us that he received. He's not making it up on the fly. He's not saying, "Well, this is the way I feel about this." But he has been given a gift. And he tells us, "I am delivering to you this gift that I have received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. You see, Bible-believing, Christ-confessing Christians do have warm feelings once in a while, even Lutherans. I know that sounds almost heretical, but even Lutherans have warm feelings when it comes to God and Jesus. And I think it's pretty certain that we're going to have some pretty warm and fuzzy feelings in this place on Christmas Eve as those lights go down and the candles are lit and we sing Silent Night together as God's people. But while we can speak of those feelings as a result of our faith, Our faith must not be standing on those feelings. Our faith must stand on Jesus Christ, cling to Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the promises of God, which are found in his word. One of the original verses of that hymn that we just sang that wasn't included in our hymnal goes like this. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. How is it that we can be buffeted by all sorts of emotions and still say it is well with my soul? We can when we're located on faith, when we stand firmly and confidently on the promises of God, fulfilled by Jesus Christ and written down for us in his word. In our text tonight, St. Paul said, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. To hope in Jesus Christ on our way to glory, we have to be located, standing firmly on what's written in scripture. And the faith, that certain word of God, gives us endurance and encouragement because our emotions are all too often buffeted by the storms of life. While still steaming toward England to be reunited with his wife, Spafford wrote to her half-sister, Rachel. And in that letter he said, on Thursday last, we passed over the spot where she went down in mid-ocean, the waters 3 miles deep. But I do not think of our dear ones there. Our dear lambs are safe, folded in the shepherd's arms. Spafford didn't have hope because he had some kind of warm, fuzzy feelings about things. His hope, like yours and like mine, was grounded on the fact that our shepherd came to die for us and then rise again to give us the promise of eternal life. Location is important. Location is important. Location is important. Just ask any real estate, what do you call them? One of those people. With everything swirling around, with everything within and without, it's good for us to be located here tonight, where we hear about our shepherd once again. And he is why it can be well with your soul. Faith, the objective word of God. Hope, our anticipation of glory. Faith, hope, and guess what's next? Well, you're going to have to come next week. You're going to have to come next week and find out about what's next. Amen.